Good morning and welcome to Coffee Ann, the longest-running panel discussion show in American radio. To make a comment or ask a question of the panel, call 401-766-1240 or email coffee@woonsocketradio.com. And now, let's join the Coffee Ann panel.
And good morning to you. It is time for Coffee Ann on ONAM and FM. Just like the man said, it's Friday morning. It's April 26th. Thanks for joining us. I'm Joe Callahan at the Coffee Ann table with me this morning. Dave Richards. Hello there, Dave.
Greetings and salutations, Mr.
We will
Callahan.
Be joined by Melissa Murray, but she's stuck in traffic.
What?
Says she'll be here around 8:05. So
really?
Well, that's the way it is with traffic sometimes.
It is, yeah.
Now,
well, you know, there's a lot of construction all around.
Yep.
And I had a meeting in East Providence earlier this week, Joe.
Oh,
I don't know if I confided
that,
in you about this, but had a meeting in Providence and East Providence.
East.
And, of course, I went to the computer and consulted and what's the delay going to be like and all the rest of that sort of thing like that. And I said, I wouldn't worry about 195, Dave. Just try to get out of North Smithfield with all the construction delay there.
Yeah, it's fun over by Sales Hill Road.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Melissa,
well, we can see
soon.
A lot of progress.
Yeah, and that's good. All right, Dave, our first segment sponsor of Coffee Inn is the Northern Rhode Island Chamber of Commerce.
You get a lot must of, have read the script.
You have a lot of emails that come in from the chamber.
I do. I had one yesterday, as a matter of fact, Joe. Shall I tell you about it?
Please, please do.
All right. Well, I'm bringing it up on my screen right now to bring you the latest and greatest. Give me just a second here as we get to... No, not that one. No, not that
no,
one.
No, that one's past due. No, that
one's past due. I don't know. I can't find it.
NRIchamber.com.
Yes,
by the way,
I know.
If you want to go online.
But that's not how it's filed. Okay, there it is. I got it right there. Okay, it's under GM. And we don't mean General Motors either. All right, so here we go. You're invited to the Welcome Wednesday Networking Coffee Hour coming up next Wednesday, the first day of May. May Day! It's the only time you can say that on a radio station and not get in trouble. At 8:30 in the morning, so you will receive dispensation to attend. It's going to be at the Hampton Inn in Pawtucket, the Wednesday networking event. Get ready to expand your professional network and connect with like-minded individuals. Join us for an exciting networking event where you can meet new contacts, exchange ideas, and foster valuable connections. And all of that's going on there. My goodness. You have introductions. You'll be able to introduce yourself, who you are, and what you do. There'll be a group photo, more networking, and stuff like that. Then you'll go off to work. And like that. So there's that, and there's the list that comes to your email box every week. They keep an eye on all the fun-loving folks down there under the dome in Providence to be sure that you're in the know on what they may be scheming for your business. Because if you don't think they're interested in your business, guess again. The legislature is always interested in your business. How? Because businesses don't vote. And so there you go. whatever. So anyway, they'll keep you in tune with what's going on there as well. It's the Northern Rhode Island Chamber of Commerce. And I don't mean to give a bad impression on what the legislature is doing. There's some pretty... when Melissa gets here, I think there's a couple of things that we could discuss if she's of a mind to do it. A couple of things that I notice on the advocacy things that are coming through that I think are probably very good ideas. It's just that, you know, sometimes they've got some ideas that, oh, we'll get them elected but won't help anybody. That sort of thing. That's the sort of thing that rubs me the wrong way. Anyway, getting back to the Northern Rhode Island Chamber of Commerce, 334-1000. They start answering the phone at 9 o'clock on Friday morning. So call them after the show. 334-1000.
All right there, Dave. I want to get to this so we can get it out of the way before Melissa gets here.
Red Sox lost last night.
Not that part.
Oh, okay.
NFL draft last night. The Patriots had the third pick overall.
I felt the draft all last night.
And they took a quarterback named Drake May. I'm going to tell you everything I know about Drake May. Okay, I'm done. All right. All I know is that he was a quarterback at the University of North Carolina.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. And he's 6'4". I heard that too.
Well, then he'll be able to see over the helmets of some of the other people.
He's a tall guy. So There you go.
That improves visibility, don't you think?
It does. So there you go.
I mean, a short quarterback likely can't see over the heads of the guys that just gave him the ball.
So now that if you ever listen to sports radio, all they've been doing for the last month is just every day, who are the Patriots going to draft? Who are they going to draft? Who are they going to draft?
I know.
Okay, that was for a whole month. Now, for the next couple of months.
Who do they draft?
No, now it's going to be who's going to start?
Oh, yeah.
Between the three of them. And that's all you're going to get. So, sure. But anyway, we're moving on from that.
They just built a palace up there in Waltham.
Congratulations that Drake May was drafted by the Patriots.
The sports hub. Beasley built a palace.
Yeah.
Glass palace for this. And as a matter of fact, I'm still waiting for my royalty checks because they in the Sports Hub studio,
yeah,
they have all these TV screens on the walls. And I said, hey, listen, I did that in Woonsocket first. Mm-hmm. You stole my idea. I want the royalty checks.
Well, we'll keep waiting there, Dave. All right. last night I said, Dave, I have an assignment for you.
Yes, you did.
Go down to Mito's Steakhouse.
Delegate up.
And that's right. And check out this economic summit that the city's putting on.
Yeah.
And Dave said, oh, do I have to?
It wasn't on my schedule of things to do. I had the Spanish show to worry about, and I was trying to finish some projects and stuff like that.
But you got out there.
Well, of course I did.
That's the important thing.
Well, the whole thing was that this is something that Joe would love to go to, but he came up with a reason why he couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And so he said, Dave, listen, I was supposed to be there. Will you represent? I said, okay, fine. I didn't get there as early as I wanted to because mm-hmm. I had to finish some things before I left. But this was a remarkable event. And I want to congratulate Mike DeBrois, his staff. Emily Haining Sheen was there. Never looked more charming in her mm-hmm. entire life that I've seen anyway. Maybe she has looked more charming, but I didn't see it. I told her that last night, just in that many words. I said, you've never looked more charming, at least when I was around.
She says, I think that's
a
compliment.
She got a big laugh out of it anyway.
I think that's a compliment, Dave.
Yeah, it was kind of, yeah. So anyway, she kind of played MC on the whole thing, gave away the raffle prizes and everything, but mm-hmm. The mayor, Chris Beauchamp, was pleased as punch. He was just brimming with pride at the outpouring of support for the ideas of economic development in Woonsocket. Mm-hmm. And how many people? He says 110 people registered to go last night. And it was a remarkably well attended. We all got a chance to nibble a little bit on the Mito Japanese Steakhouse hors d'oeuvres and mm-hmm. things. And standing room only in the banquet room. Really
fantastic.
Nice.
Fantastic.
So really, really, really nice. Yeah. So that was last night. And congratulations to Mike and his staff and the mayor for supporting all this. And you heard it on the news today. Probably saw some things on Facebook. I didn't get any pictures for Facebook. I just worried about the radio last night. It's about as far as I could go.
That's okay. And Melissa Murray's here. Good morning to you, Melissa.
Good morning.
And it ended promptly, by the way.
It ended promptly at 6 o'clock? We're done. Okay.
Seriously.
Well, because probably
they made way for their dinner crowd.
Yeah, the dinner crowd.
You know, not only that, but, you know, when you're in business, and this is kind of a reference to Northern Rhode Island Chamber of Commerce, our sponsor for this segment as well. When you go to these business-type meetings, these affairs, it's a demand on your time, and you appreciate when they end on time. If they mm-hmm. just keep on going and going and going and going, that gets to be a burden. And while you might be having a good time, you pay for it on the other end because you didn't get something else done. And that's what happens with business people. Well, so being conscientious and keeping it on schedule and ending on time was really appreciated. Well done.
And I think maybe some of the people that attended who are Woonsocket residents wanted to get over to the high school. Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, that's right.
That was opening night last night. We wanted to get to opening night.
You see the pictures in the paper about that?
Yes.
My goodness. It looked amazing.
Yeah, the costumes look great. So well done on that. So and walk around and shake hands and talk to a few people there, Dave?
Yes, but that wasn't the whole reason I was there, to be mm-hmm. seen and like that. Stopped at the tables, picked up some cards and things mm-hmm. like that.
All right.
That wasn't my big purpose. My big purpose was to be there for the speaking program and to get a chance to speak with Mike and Chris afterwards.
All right. I'm glad it went very well.
Jerry's Bluffing Boutique there. She was there.
Glad it was so well attended. So
quite a number of people from the Blackstone Valley Tourism Council, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. All right. Other things going on, looking at the front page of today's Blackstone Valley Call and Times, women, with soccer women.
We didn't say good morning to Melissa, did we?
Yes, we did.
We did?
Yes, we did.
Oh, I didn't say good morning, Melissa.
Good morning. Well,
all right.
Dave's not paying attention. woman charged with not helping victim of a fatal car crash. This is a woman from Woonsocket.
Yeah. They made it a crime. It is. To be dazed and confused, you know, and walk away from an accident.
I looked it up, and the statute is, any person at the scene of an emergency who knows that another person is exposed to or has suffered grave physical harm shall, to the extent that he or she can do so without danger or peril to himself or herself or to others, give reasonable assistance to the exposed person.
Right.
I didn't know this was a law.
Super subjective.
But she didn't do anything. She walked away.
Right. Dazed and confused.
In the accident?
Yeah, she was in the
accident.
She
was in the passenger seat of the car that did the hitting.
But not hurt.
Oh.
She got out of the car, and since she lived only a short distance away on Vernon Street,
she did not render assistance.
She walked home.
Didn't even call 911.
And didn't answer the phone when the cops came knocking.
The funny part, though, Melissa?
And now it's been weeks, and she just finally got herself together, went down to the police station, say, you know,
I'm going to retrieve some of my belongings.
My personal belongings were in the car. The car was impounded. I can't get to my personal belongings. Can you help me?
Sure.
They said, oh, yes, we got some nice shiny bracelets for you, lady.
Because there's a warrant for her arrest. So they arrested her at the police station.
At the very least, she could have waited for the police to arrive and then corroborated the story.
Hold it, boys and girls.
Yes.
This is where too many laws take judgment away from law enforcement. And I don't like this. And I'm going to give you another example. Here at the radio station in one sunny day a couple of years ago, I'm sitting here in the control room and we hear a big bang followed by a roaring of an engine as it sped away.
All right.
And a young lady in a minivan came around. She was going south on Park Avenue, came around onto Kennedy Street, went a little wide and took the telephone pole off at the base just outside the radio station. As soon as she did, and this lady, by the way, was, I forget, 7 or 8 months pregnant, or very pregnant, we'll put it that way, within weeks or days of delivering. And as soon as she hit the pole, which we understand she didn't see because of where the sun was at the time and the rest of that stuff, she was so startled by the thing that she just floored it, went home, and went inside and tried to recover herself. So, technically, she left the scene of an accident.
Right.
With property damage. And she went there, and the car was in full smashed disarray, the minivan, out in the she lived over on Ward Street.
Okay.
I mean, just a block away.
Around the corner, yeah.
Just a block away. The police officer said she was in bad mental shape. And so, of course, they understand that also when you're carrying a child, your physiology changes and your mental outlook changes. You become a little more protective and things like that, right? I never heard the end of it, but at the time, they didn't arrest her and put her in handcuffs and take her away. They realized that she was probably in no shape to go anywhere anyway, and she didn't have a car anymore. It wasn't going to start, and like that. So they used some good judgment in making their report out and not doing anything to her at that time. Now, because I witnessed that pretty close up, I'm saying this person's in the passenger seat, coming home from Cello's, boyfriend's driving. Turns out he goes through a stop sign, T-bones a car. She wasn't hurt. I can understand her becoming dazed and confused. And I'm very close to home, just walking home. And then not just shutting down mentally and not answering the door when the cops came. I can understand that. Well, am I wrong?
No, I can understand it, but you can't do it.
Well, yeah, but it's such a this is a vindictive law that was passed.
Well, it's a petty misdemeanor.
Yeah,
according to the article,
it's a vindictive law.
It carries a maximum jail sentence of 6 months and a fine of no more than $500.
Yeah. Which I do not agree with
either.
That law.
She probably won't get either.
In my opinion, that law...
But then she's got an arrest on her record now.
Right,
so.
Yeah. In my opinion, that law should be repealed.
All right.
And I say that because we are taking the good judgment of law enforcement on the scene who have the situation in context, and we're taking their good judgment away by forcing them to arrest someone.
Was the driver or the driver of the other car injured?
Killed.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh,
it was
gosh.
Death resulted.
For 70, both?
70, no, no. One. 71-year-old man in the back seat did die.
Mm-hmm.
And there were injuries to the driver in the passenger in the front.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This was a serious crash.
Yeah.
Okay. Very serious with this that's resulting.
And she was in that car.
Right. But she walked away and didn't call for
she
help
wasn't driving,
or anything.
Yeah.
And
that's
so
tough.
Yeah.
Right.
But why would anybody, my argument is, walk away when your boyfriend's in the car?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And people have been obviously hurt. They're in the other car, obviously hurt. Why would you walk away if you were in your right mind? A case can be made for the fact that she did not break a law, but she acted in a way that was right for her at the time, unthinkingly and not knowing she was breaking a law. So why would you arrest her?
I think she should retain you as her attorney. You have a very good argument.
I'm only dealing with logic, and this is a discussion show,
so it carries no weight in society. You bring a very good argument.
So I'm free to say what
argument.
I think.
And
that's what I think. I think it's a vindictive law that should not have been put on the books. It was probably put on the books to right some terrible wrong and get some legislator elected.
Well, let me go to the other side. And not that this is in the article, and it's purely speculation and opinion, but... Yeah. Yeah. What if she's carrying an illegal substance and doesn't want to get caught with it? So she goes home and puts it away. And that's why she doesn't answer the door.
That's possible. That's possible, too. But
that's very devil's advocate of you, Joe.
Well, it is. And I don't want to get caught with something.
I get it. No, that's an argument. Yeah, that's a what if.
Right.
We have no evidence about that.
No.
Right.
No, but she wasn't arrested for possession or anything like that.
And her boyfriend, who was the driver of the car, was arrested for... alcohol infraction,
right?
Not any other thing. So why would we even suggest that the two of them were in the drug culture?
If she had been drinking or whatever and was freaked out that she was going to get arrested, even though she wasn't driving.
Well, because you're asking why would she go home? That's just one reason why she would do that.
But it's not...
Fearful.
You can't bring it up for evidence because there was no drugs... Right. Scene. There's no evidence of any of that. And in fact, the evidence is that they that the man imbibed too much in the legal substance of alcohol. That's where the evidence is. So to suggest it, if I was that family right now, I'd be kind of upset we even talked about it on the radio, because suggesting it is I think out of line.
We got to take a break. But I
understand your reasoning.
Yeah, okay. It just reminds me, and Gary Smith will back me up on this one. episode
You can't do much better than having Gary back you up on something.
Episode of Barney Miller.
Yeah.
And Wojciechowicz arrested a man because he wasn't helping out at a crime scene, so he arrested him for non-involvement.
Non-involvement.
That's right.
I get it. I disagree with the law.
This segment,
in this case.
Yeah. Well, there was no law in New York City at the time, so we couldn't arrest him for that. But anyway, this segment of Coffee Hands has been sponsored by the Northern Rhode Island Chamber of Commerce. Anything else you want to say about the chamber, Dave?
Yes, just seven little numbers. 334-1000. Call after 9.
Thanks, Dave. More Coffee Hands coming up. Stay tuned.
For an Allstate agent, providing protection options that fit your life is something they take, well, personally. Allstate agents are committed to learning about your needs and helping customize protection to meet them. From bundling your home and auto insurance with ease to evaluating optional coverage, your Allstate agent can help build an insurance proposal that fits your life. And just as important as learning what you need is learning what you don't. Because helping you get coverage you want with savings you deserve is what Allstate is all about. It's time to get coverage that's catered to you.
Are you in good hands? Call Kara and Celeste Benjamin at the Benjamin Agency. One agency, two locations in North Smithfield and Bellingham. One telephone number, 765-5000. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability, Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
The Coffee and Panel is enjoying coffee from Down East Coffee Roasters. All that coffee is roasted right here in Rhode Island. Down East Coffee Roasters is available at all Little General stores.
Local and live at 99.5 FM.
It is Coffee Ann here on ONAM and FM. Thanks for joining us. Joe Callan here with Melissa Murray and Dave Richards.
What
and
about the ostrich that died?
That was in Illinois.
Yeah.
The ostrich that ate the keys.
That's right.
They ate the keys?
Yeah, they had
keys. He snuck them out of the caretaker's pocket when the caretaker wasn't looking. And
swallowed the
and
keys.
Swallowed the keys immediately.
Oh, no. And they got stuck. They couldn't save them.
And they couldn't. They had to euthanize the ostrich.
Oh, you know. That's terrible.
Well, I guess he was in distress. And
well, yeah, and you would be too if you ate keys.
Yeah.
So that's too bad.
Poor
on the,
guy
on the ostrich,
or girl.
So. Yep. So and we had a bald eagle that died
in Cranston
because it ate a rat.
That was poisoned with the rat poison, which I have the law to. Restrict, not outlaw, just restrict. Okay. Like you shouldn't be able to like go to Home Depot and get it because it's really, it's really potent. Toxic.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not something you should just have around in your garage. You know, a person with a permit would be able to purchase it. But no, a bald eagle. And they had a picture of the eagle wrapped in a blanket. It was so sad. I'm like, this is the symbol of our country. And it's like, oh my God, he didn't make it, obviously. So. Uh-huh.
So now you've got to go out and hire a professional for hundreds of dollars to get rid of a rat.
Not necessarily,
no.
Dave.
No. There are other...
Because that's not what
she
I do.
She just said you got to have a license to buy rat poison.
Not all rat poison. Only this certain highly toxic level
Camel's
of...
Camel's nose under the flap.
Level 2 rodenticide, which normally you wouldn't need unless you were like... If you're a farmer and you had to protect your crops that kind of thing.
But this is what I use in my...
You don't want them to have.
That's what I use in my garage to take care of the mice.
Oh, yeah?
And you may not like this either, but glue traps.
Are
terribly effective.
They're terrible.
Well, yeah.
I know.
Oh boy. I passed up on them, Joe.
Well, I find them very effective.
The old guillotine mouse traps.
I think you're more humane, even though they're bad. But.
Yeah, they are because they like them bang instant. And they don't even know what hit them.
The glue traps are so good.
I didn't want the poison.
I didn't want
the glue traps.
All right.
And it's just because, you know, I really don't even like smashing a spider. But if they're in the dwelling space, that's what you got to do. Done. I get it. You can't show them the door and expect them to leave.
You can drop them in a cup. If you're brave enough. I'm not.
Oh, a slip of paper.
Yeah, right. No.
The glue trap works so well. Yeah. While I was trying to catch mice, and I did, I caught a chipmunk.
Unintended consequences.
I'm like, oh, this is strong stuff.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So it's like it's just layered.
I mean,
I'm not
saying that people shouldn't have pest control. They should, you know, you have to have pest control.
Yeah,
and everybody
and I love
pests.
Animals, and everybody has pests.
There's no dwelling out there that hasn't had a mouse or two or some sort of pest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, right. Marcel has caught a mouse.
Yeah,
and. He's been looking for it ever since at the same place where he saw it.
He knows it's coming back there.
a year and a half ago, waiting for it to come out.
Smart. Waiting for another one. Yeah, that was fun. Let's do it again.
All right. You know, like super toxic that affects other wildlife and people's pets.
We should explain that Marcel
pets.
Is your friendly cat.
Oh, Marcel Noel is my kid, my kitty.
All right. Also here in Woonsocket, a man who allegedly fired multiple rounds from a handgun at a passing car.
Oh, yeah.
In the Veterans Memorial Housing Complex has been arrested.
Good.
A string of weapons charges. Alexander Belize Cologne of Borden Boulevard was arrested shortly after noon on April 22nd, about 12 hours after police responded to a report that someone had fired 6 to 10 rounds at a vehicle passing through the family housing development.
Wow. They also arrested a young boy who lied to the cops about it.
Oh, like, did you see anything?
They charged.
Did you see the right car?
I shouldn't say arrested because I think the story said charged.
All right.
The picture I'm getting from Russ Olivo's story here That was Russ that wrote it, right?
Yes.
Okay. The picture I'm getting from Russ Olivo's story in my brain is that he's standing on the lawn of his rental unit in Boredom Boulevard, and which is, I guess, they don't even call it that. That's not the official name of the project, but that's what everybody calls it because that's the main thoroughfare that goes through it. And he's standing on the lawn with his family, sees the car cruising by, pulls out the gun and starts shooting at the car. As in, get out of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Sort of shooting at the car. There was collateral damage to at least one pickup truck with smashed windows. And it's not completely known whether any of the bullets hit the car. But if you're talking 50, 60 feet with a 9mm semi-automatic, mm-hmm. 6 to 10 rounds have been fired off. Not hitting the car is a far stretch of the imagination.
And the car sped off?
But they
off.
Haven't found the car yet.
Right, it sped off.
Because, yeah, right.
It's got Florida plates. Maybe it's heading back to Florida.
Well, no, it's a rental car.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, and it's a local rental agency. Yeah.
Okay.
So
the thing with
the investigation continues on that, but they haven't found the car yet.
The police interviewed witnesses at the scene, including a juvenile who was ultimately charged with obstructing for lying to the police.
Yeah.
So
you cannot lie to somebody with a badge.
No.
No, you're in trouble.
Because when they find out about it, you're in a lot more trouble.
And it's a felony to do it with a federal officer. Yeah.
Doesn't say what
Can
he,
you imagine that?
Didn't say what he lied to them about. But
well, just, whatever.
Yeah.
Trying to protect whomever.
They really, the police officers in this city are sharp. They know the burden of proof for that charge, and they're going to have it pretty well nailed. That mm-hmm. the juvenile said this, 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 and this to us, and we found out later that couldn't possibly be true. So obviously the kid lied. Well, you know, the cops got to be pretty well squared away on that charge, I'd guess.
Okay.
And they got security cameras on the guy with the gun.
That's how they got the ID of the guy.
This is good cop work. Seriously, I don't expect that there's a difference of opinion here, other than I don't want to have done it.
Over in Cumberland, the former teacher in the Cumberland school system was convicted on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Child sexual offenses.
This stuff makes me really upset.
Mm-hmm. Three counts, actually, of child molestation. He was arrested back in 2020. And he was just convicted on Thursday. No word yet on what his...
And he wasn't in court to hear his sentence because he was in the hospital.
Yeah, due to hospitalization. Yeah. He is deemed a flight risk, so his bail's been revoked.
Yep.
So, but no word yet on what his punishment is going to be. That'll probably come in a couple of months. And he also worked at the Lincoln YMCA.
And believe me, once you get your punishment, if it includes incarceration, there's another punishment that the state doesn't mete out.
He is going to get incarceration for this because the three counts of the child molestation go against three different girls. So it's a serious offender here. So
teacher?
He was a special ed teacher in the Cumberland school system.
Yuck.
Although I don't have the information. I don't think the victims were his students, but I'm not positive.
They didn't get that specific in the story.
But he also worked, he was an after school instructor at the Lincoln YMCA, too.
Which is Cumberland Lincoln YMCA, right?
Is it just Cumberland Lincoln? It's a Cumberland Lincoln Boys Club.
Boys Club. You're right about that.
Lincoln has their own YMCA on Great Neck Hill Road.
Okay.
So.
That's right. It's next to the lodge.
Yucky.
Yes, you're right. Right over there. Well, and that entrance onto 146 that you can't use.
That's right. You can't use, right?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break here on the Coffee and Program. It's time for the weather forecast as soon as I get it ready here. And the weather forecast is being brought to us by, I believe, Progressive Insurance.
You bet.
Thanks, Flo.
Sunny skies today and a high of 57 with a breeze from the north. Tonight, patchy frost after 3 a.m., otherwise clear, overnight low of 33. Saturday's weather, increasingly cloudy, high of 63. Saturday night, a small chance of showers, mostly cloudy and 42. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high near 63. Monday, partial sunshine and 70 with a breeze from the north. Tuesday, mostly cloudy and a high of 67. Wednesday, mostly cloudy and 68. Next Thursday, partly sunny, 71.
Currently outside the Navigant Credit Union broadcast studio on the corner of Park Ave and Kennedy Street, sunny skies and 48 degrees.
At 8:29 in the morning. Earlier this morning, it was 31.
All right, you know, your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with their easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. That was a Progressive commercial.
Thanks, Dave.
Wow. Can you believe Gator's Pub is celebrating its 35th year in business? Maybe the key to Gator's success is our super friendly staff. Or maybe the fact that the chefs at Gator's are constantly making some of the freshest and most delicious dishes around. If you've never been, come on down and check out our great lunch specials from Monday through Thursday. They also offer complimentary soup during lunch. Watch the Boston Red Sox on one of our many TVs while enjoying classic apps like fresh potato skins or our famous pita chips. Come watch a volleyball game and have a burger or one of our newest cocktail creations. Gator's is located on Route 102 in North Smithfield, about 1 mile before Wright's Chicken Farm. Come say hello.
One of our gold medal winners in the best of the Blackstone Valley is Marshan Environmental of Blackstone. They won gold in the category of septic service. They also won silver in the junk removal dumpsters category. For information, visit MarshanEnvironmental.com. One of the best of the Blackstone Valley.
When you're thinking about a place to go out to eat with your family or the whole gang, or maybe something quieter for just the two of you, head over to ON Radio's website, OneSocketRadio.com, and click on the restaurant guide. This gives you a listing of the best restaurants in the area. You could take a look at menus and possibly even make reservations. This is a great resource to see a bunch of restaurants all in one place. Remember, it's OneSocketRadio.com and click on restaurant guide. And if you own a restaurant that's not already listed, call WOON Radio at 401-762-1240 for information on how your restaurant can be on the restaurant guide. Call Joe at 401-762-1240.
Coffee Ann on ON Radio. Thanks for joining us. Joe Callahan here with Melissa Murray and Dave Richards. And this segment of Coffee Ann sponsored by the Valley Breeze newspaper, which Dave happens to have in his hands.
I have the Cumberland Lincoln edition of the paper in my hand right now, Joe. And let me just tell you what's on the front page over here. You'll see it where you shop, no doubt, all weekend long. Ethan Shorey has a story about Cumberland native who opens a showroom in an auction house for show-stopping cars in Pawtucket. That's an interesting one. Get a chance to see some eye candy there, that's for sure, if you like that sort of thing. And, of course, the costs for the Diamond Hill Park site work continue to rise. Ethan has a story about that. Unforeseen issues under the surface at Diamond Hill Park are leading to higher costs for the preliminary work for a new community center being built there. Of course. And of course, it's all them nasty stumps that they have to pull out. And in Lincoln, a nice story from Sophia Barr about the We Roast to serve community at the new location. We Roast owner Edward Teddy Sullivan III has got a new place at 276 Front Street. Turning our attention to the North Smithfield, Woonsocket, and Blackstone edition of the Valley Breeze. The show goes on. The Beauty and the Beast debuts at Woonsocket High School. Beautiful pictures in there, too. Ethan Shorey has a story. By the way, the story from about the Beauty and the Beast, I'm going to try really hard to pronounce the deputy editor's name. Luz Jennifer Martinez, I think is how it is. All right. Ethan Shorey has a story about officials saying that better days ahead for those dealing with the stench in Woonsocket. And there's a nice picture of Steve D'Agostino there on the front page. Of course, it has to do with the repairs at the sewage treatment plant that we all know. Luz Jennifer also has a story about more North Smithfield road improvements are being planned. Also, some great ads in the Breeze this week, of course. Some local businesses that you will want to know. And inside every Valley Breeze, this edition, Spring in the Valley, beautiful full-color supplement with all things vintage, pretty arrangements, flying high, and watch and learn. It's published by the Valley Breeze newspapers. Got a great picture of the Blackstone River there with a cherry tree blossoming, and what a pretty picture that is. So pick it up when you pick up your Valley Breeze, absolutely free, where you shop every Thursday. Joe?
All right there, Dave. Thanks. Well, down in Providence, the Brown University students and whoever else decides to join them, their encampment continues.
Yeah.
They say that they want the school to divest of interests that contribute to Israel's military. And the school says their endowment is directly invested in defense or... wait a minute. At its May meeting, university officials deny that Brown's endowment is directly invested in defense or munitions manufacturers.
Okay.
So, it doesn't matter because it's all rhetoric. There's a bunch of agitators out there that have spread out to all the college campuses
around the country,
and they're being orchestrated from a central location to cause unrest. Joe and I were talking about this earlier.
We've seen this before. We've seen this many times.
Yeah, I saw it. I mean, I grew up with it, friends.
Yeah.
I saw it up close and personal. But let's see if Melissa agrees.
All right.
As I make my case for the fact that we should not be taking this nearly as seriously and certainly directing our concerns elsewhere. These are not students doing this. These are outside agitators who have no right to be on private property, but are making off like they're students, and they're really not.
Well, there's some students that are showing up.
There are incidental students there. Let's face it, Joe, you were in college.
Yes.
Melissa, you went for higher education.
Yes.
Yeah. What's it like on a college campus during April?
It's busy.
Leading up to your final exams.
It's
you
busy.
Got time for this baloney? Do you have time for this baloney?
I didn't.
Right.
You were
I took 21
you
credit
right.
hours
writing.
My last semester.
You could do this in June and July and August.
Yeah.
You can't do this stuff in April. The number of students available to cause the unrest that we're seeing is not there. It has to be outside non-student participation. Yet I heard our very own NBC News Radio, who I frequently have differences of opinion with, write a story that said students across the nation are doing this. No, they're not. And so what you have to do is you have to do what they did up in Boston, and they have to go in and arrest them.
So they did that at Emerson College.
Right. And Emerson is no slouch. Anybody in our business has already had cause to respect Emerson's education.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get accepted to Emerson and you want to be in our business, in the broadcasting business, you are two steps up the ladder before you graduate.
My brother went to Emerson.
Right. Because they don't educate slouches at Emerson. And if so, you don't ever make it to the end
mm-hmm.
of the course.
Yeah.
So that's the deal. And I'm absolutely convinced in my heart, besides having seen it in the 60s and early 70s also, I'm absolutely convinced in my heart that the students aren't the problem. The students are there, and they get wrapped up in a message, and maybe they have a friend who's going, and they go with a friend because they're asked, mm-hmm. and things. This is totally incidental to the organized business that's going on, organized by, of course, Palestinian sympathizers. Now, I'm not going to take any steps on whether Israel's right or Hamas is right or Palestine and all the rest of that. That whole thing's been a heartache since the end of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And there's never been a good answer to the whole thing. And killing people is wrong on either side. That's where I am. I ain't going there and taking sides. But what they have is that they try to erode the support of the United States, which is giving billions of dollars of aid to Israel to prosecute the war. So they figure they'll do it by unrest because that's how they stopped the Vietnam War that the government wanted to do. They reversed their decisions and got out of Vietnam, even though they had to do so by losing face. So they figure, reading the history books, this is how we're going to get the United States to turn its back on Israel. So if you understand this, why is it a big deal? What you should be doing is ignoring them.
But they're creating violence.
Well,
that's a difference. That's different. That's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think people are making a much bigger deal about the protests than they need to. And they're like, these woke Ivy League, whatever.
No,
people have always done this, but no, there can't be violence. No, you can't stand for that. That's when you cross
the
line.
And then they'll say, if no one ever crossed the line, the United States would not exist. If you go back in historical colonial times, there was violence. And there was violent resistance.
Well, we'd like to think that we've come a little ways.
Well, I know,
since then.
I understand. Yeah,
you even can though maybe we haven't, but
you can justify it all over the place. But at the time, it was people who were fed up and didn't care about the law and brought violence to the occupiers.
Sure, but I mean, on private property, you know, on school property, if someone's causing, if it comes to violence, you have to arrest somebody.
Right. Someone.
But
who
if
is
someone
not...
wants to put up a tent and be there for however long and hold up a sign and do whatever
peacefully,
and not go to their and right
like Martin Luther
then
King
just
was
what,
peaceful
at some point, like they're not going to be there forever.
Right.
At some point, they will go home or not go to their class or fail or whatever, mm-hmm. and that's on them. But everyone's got
but
their.
But if you are not enrolled in that institution and attending class actively in that institution, you technically have no right to walk on the private property without additional permissions. And
agreed.
If they
yeah,
say,
you can't...
we don't want you here,
right.
then they have every right to call in law enforcement to remove you.
If you're not a student. Sure.
Right.
It's private
and
property.
And they can...
Just like somebody yeah,
right.
did that
but
on
when
your
you
front
go
lawn,
to a college,
right.
you also... You sign a paper when you go to college, and you agree to abide by the rules of the institution. And in return, they take your money and they give you an education, and they, you know, give you all the rights to their name that a graduate would have conferred on them. All right, all that's cool until you get to the part where you don't go there and you're causing the trouble and you're whipping up the students that are there. The students that are there do not get taken off unless they refuse an order to move to their dormitory or whatever, all right? The agitators have to leave the private property. Mm-hmm. The students can just go somewhere else because they're being told by the administration they can't stay here. And if they don't do that, then they've broken a rule and they're open to sanction.
Yeah.
All right. So the sanctions come to the students, but the dispossession comes to the people who aren't students. So there you go.
All right.
We don't have to talk about this anymore,
no, we're
do
move
we?
On.
Because,
we're
I mean, on. I could make a bigger case,
no,
but let's
no,
not
no,
do
no.
that, huh?
The next subject I wanted to bring up is, and I don't know why this is an issue, but I don't live there. The outdoor gun range in Cranston.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Is a concern for residents.
Since
which I don't understand.
They've been hearing pop, mm-hmm. pop, 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 pop.
That's right.
The
it's been there.
Oh, the noise, right?
Well,
mostly
no, noise. No, they're not. That's not what they're really concerned about.
A school
about.
Mostly goes during cold weather times when you don't open the windows.
They
now, if you open the windows.
They're trying to reduce the noise for the schools.
And you can hear the pop, 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 pop. Right? This is not bazookas going off, folks.
No.
This is handguns that. Duly certified law enforcement officers are
how did
going
they allow it so
to
close
practice
to the school?
With their weapon in a safe place.
Well, I don't know. What was built first? The gun range or the high school?
Gun range.
Then the people that built the high school had to have known that the gun range is right
there.
Because
that's Cranston West, I believe, right?
It doesn't say.
It's
Cranston
West
High School.
It's off Phoenix Avenue. That's
okay.
Cranston West.
All right.
It's near the ice rink and the
but
rest
if you,
of that.
But if you're building the school, you have to have known what's around you. Okay, there's a gun range over there run by the police.
And they
when
didn't
they
care.
Built it, they didn't care at the time.
Right.
Or they didn't
now,
know, or they didn't
now everybody's
do worried. Their
now,
homework.
We
now
don't
parents,
want our police to have weapons. Let's attack the shooting range.
The parents are concerned about exposure to gunfire while classes are in session. And all they have to say is, well, there's nothing to worry about. It's just the gun range. So what's the problem?
It's just like the
is
one
a,
up here. The one in North Smithfield.
Yeah.
That's right on the edge
is
of Woonsocket.
Is it training
Woonsocket
for
yes.
police officers or is it, a,
it.
Is right. it a public?
No. It's for the police department and,
oh,
other, and
well,
other police departments.
It's at the bottom of a hill.
Yeah.
The targets are set up with the hill in the background.
So the noise so carries the, up.
Well, the, no, oh, yeah. no. So that the bullets cannot leave the range.
Well, I know, but the
they
if
are
it's,
embedded
if it's
in the
down,
hill.
Then the noise will carry up.
Officers yeah. from many police agencies use the range to remain current with their firearm certifications.
Right. Okay.
It's not open. It's not like the gun club out there in Barreville.
Right.
People come
out
and
of the
shoot
least.
Shooting.
Right.
Out of least. Right.
So
yeah.
what are the parents are wanting that it's
they're so
shut
far
down?
Away
they
don't
want
from the neighbors.
No, they don't want their kids to hear gunfire while they're in school.
So
yes,
they
I
want
can,
the police
just,
officers
just
to...
Just look at Melissa's face. You can see that their argument's getting kind of thin, right?
So now they want the officers to only practice at night?
Well, probably. Now there's a bill in the House.
Yeah, but there might be something going on at the school at night.
There's a bill at the House that would ban outdoor ranges within 1 mile of schools.
But they have to be grandfathered in.
You would think so. This was not going anywhere.
But grandfathers, rights and wrongs, doesn't ever hold any water with woke people who want to defund police.
Woke doesn't mean anything.
They want police officers to not have weapons. They want them. They want to bring in the psychologists and the counselors with the people who have the machine guns and are shooting up the church and stuff like that. These are people who don't want that law enforcement to have guns, so they're going to attack the shooting range. In my opinion. That's why it's wrong now and not wrong years ago.
I just think there's more like helicopter parents now that are just so overly concerned.
It's a high school. It's not a kindergarten.
It's the parents. It's the parents, right?
In where I live, there's a gun range that's well within a mile of the whole school complex and also very close to a softball field, baseball field. Lacrosse.
Is it an outdoor range?
Yes. And I've been at the place.
I bet you they fire into a sandbag.
They do. Yeah. But I've been there where parents are from out of town and they can hear the shots going off. And we say, don't worry about it. It's the police. It's their gun range. They're like, okay.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And because it's law enforcement.
That's right. Rational people will do that.
Yeah. Right. Well, you can put that law into place, but you can't punish
that's already
pre-existing
there.
Right, it is what it is, right. Like you, it was there when you built the school, so
just I'm telling Cranston, get over it, okay? Yeah. All right, this
segment, no one's ever going to be happy with that situation, right?
This segment of Coffee Ann's been sponsored by the Valley Breeze newspaper.
The Valley Breeze has been a local news leader since its founding in 1996, and more people are reading our stories today than ever before. We believe our mission of making our community stronger by telling their stories is not just a tagline, but a way of life for our staff as they connect with you, our loyal readers and advertisers. Our team thanks you for always reading, always reaching out, and always helping toward our shared vision. Check out any of our 5 editions or visit valleybreeze.com for more.
At Dean Bank, their focus is on helping their customers achieve financial success. Dean Bank is a full-service bank, so they're able to deliver solutions that solve financial problems of all shapes and sizes. And as your neighbor, it's their mission to make a positive impact within the communities where they live and work. Dean Bank offers scholarships to students from participating schools, sponsor local charitable organizations, and more. Visit one of their local Blackstone Valley branches in Bellingham and Blackstone today, or find us online at deanbank.com. Dean Bank. It's my bank.
You can depend on us for public service, Owen Radio.
Thanks for joining us on the Coffee Ann program on this Friday morning. Joe Callahan here with Dave Richards and Melissa Murray. And Disney World had to come out with a new rule.
Okay.
Yeah. No Crocs on the escalators. And I don't mean the animals.
And they don't mean the alligators, right?
Yeah. Because that's what I first thought I meant. What do they mean? They're banning crocodiles. They're wild animals.
Peter Pan?
No, Disney World is reporting escalating its war against a certain brand of shoes. Visitors are no longer allowed to wear Crocs while riding escalators at Disney World. The problem is coming over at the Land Pavilion in Epcot, where the shoes get caught in the escalator, which shuts the escalator down.
Yep.
So
I never liked Crocs to begin with.
But now the cast members down there have to be on down. Now they're the shoe police.
Yep.
You can't get on that escalator. The stairs are over there.
You have to take the stairs.
So we go barefoot up the escalators, put the Crocs back on, and go on Small World.
The article's written wrong because it talks about you can't ride escalators at the Magic Kingdom, but I don't think they have any escalators at the Magic Kingdom, but the land does it at Epcot. I don't know if they're escalators. They might just be coming out of Space Mountain. It's a walkway, but it's not an escalator. It's a moving ramp.
Like the kind they have at
I thought it used to be at
airports. Right?
Yes, at airports.
Whatever,
I don't mean if they mean the same thing as that as well. Maybe they do. So I'm all set.
Yeah.
I'm going there next week, and I don't wear Crocs.
So Good for you.
I'm all set there.
I didn't realize they were coming up so quickly.
World seal of approval, Joe.
I'm always concerned because they also have another rule because they on what you wear. Mm-hmm. And they will, if you're wearing a T-shirt that they deem, you know, offensive or like that, they'll tell you to leave or go buy another shirt. And they used to give, this is the way people were getting free T-shirts. And Disney,
oh,
and Disney figured
okay.
it out. So they would wear an offensive shirt.
So they
Disney
could get a free
would
T-shirt.
Disney would give them one.
Yeah.
Well, they figured that out after a while. Now it's okay, go buy one or turn around and leave. So, but I've been there with a skull on my T-shirt, and I have not been thrown out. So it hasn't scared people. So,
uh-huh. Well, I would think it would be more like profanity or
it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
I want to say good morning, people watching us on X today.
Hello there, people
that
on X.
Gives me the creeps.
why? They're watching
X? I don't know. It's just X gives me the creeps.
I know at least one person that's watching us on X right now.
Let me just put it this way. Out of all of our streams out there, there's more people watching on X than on YouTube or Facebooky.
It's just easier.
Because it comes
radio
up.
Website.
Like if you're on X and you're, you know, scrolling or whatever, it comes up with a little bubble that says ON Radio Live Now.
No,
and
okay.
You can just press on it and there we are.
Yeah.
So this is a bizarre story out of Pikesville, Maryland.
Oh, and not Kentucky?
Nope, it's Maryland.
I know. I got friends in Pikesville, Kentucky.
There's a former high school athletic director in Maryland. He's not happy with his former principal. And the AD is accused of using artificial intelligence to try to frame the school's principal. The Baltimore Banner, which is a newspaper, reports Dazan Darian is charged with disrupting school activities after police say he faked Pikesville High School principal Eric Eisworth's voice and circulated an audio recording on social media.
Oh,
wow.
No.
The audio clip made disparaging remarks about black students, school staff, and the Pikesville's Jewish community.
This terrifies me.
That this can be done.
Why? Yeah.
Why? It could always have been done.
But it's more accessible to people now.
It makes news now.
Eisworth was removed from the building as Baltimore County Schools and police launched an investigation into the recording.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of worked.
Yeah.
You got him
right.
focusing on,
right.
on those guys.
Put a camera up.
Hello. So I know. I always, maybe I don't even want to put that out there, but like as someone in politics, I worry about someone doing something like that to me. Even if it wasn't me, by the time you get exonerated of it, you're already
toast.
Oh, you did that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though it was not even you.
Right.
It's terrible. It's terrifying.
Convicted on Facebook.
Yeah, right.
I think it's George Carlin's daughter took some people to task.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were someone was using George Carlin's material
mm-hmm.
and then editing it around to make it look like he was saying something he really wasn't saying.
Oh, yeah.
And so she runs his estate and she mm-hmm. jumped right in and say, well, we're putting an end to that.
Good.
And they did. So, all right. So.
He was so funny.
George Carlin?
Yeah. Amazing.
Still funny.
Still funny.
Yeah.
Most of what he was funny about was that you didn't talk that way in public.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he did talk that way in public, he got some notoriety and people said, yeah, that's right. We can't say that in public, but he just said it. And isn't it funny?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. Okay. I'm going to stop there because I was about to quote him and I can't do
no,
that.
No, you can't do
I
that.
I can't do that in Coffee Ann.
No.
please don't. There's a convicted murderer in San Diego. He's been sentenced to 6 more years in prison. Sean Brown. He was already in prison for first-degree murder when he helped steal more than $1 million in COVID relief money during the pandemic. He was sentenced to 4 more years in prison for the scheme, as well as an additional 2 years for paying a correctional officer to smuggle in dental molds and a $30,000 gold and diamond grill for his teeth.
Because no one will notice that he just showed up with this.
I made it myself in prison. He's been ordered to give back the mouthpiece as part of his new sentence. Mm-hmm. No word on the correctional officer who took the money and brought in the smuggled in the stuff for him.
He's not going to get an invite to the Christmas party.
But
how did they think this was going to work? Like,
I don't know. We got to get it in somehow. But I'm thinking correctional officers must be asked this stuff all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Try to be bribed every single day.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, do this for me and you'll get this amount of money.
He's in jail. He somehow got a ton of COVID money.
Yeah, I don't know how he did that.
Well, everybody got COVID
money. Well, maybe he got the COVID money and then killed somebody. Because it says he's already in prison for first-degree murder when he helped steal more than $1 million in COVID relief money.
He was already in prison when he helped steal the COVID money. So it was some kind of scheme.
No.
No?
Nope. Maybe they wrote it wrong. Oh, well, 1 minute. Already in prison for first-degree murder. When he helped, okay, so he was in prison.
Yeah.
When he helped steal more than a million dollars in COVID relief money during the pandemic, so he's
which
not a
he
dumb
used
guy.
To bribe.
And now he's using it to bribe the correctional officer.
The correctional officer,
because he wants dental molds and a $30,000 gold and diamond grill for his teeth.
$30,000 diamond and gold grill.
He's got someone on the outside.
Prison. Sure, right.
That has this for him. Can't bring it in because it's gold. Right. But here, you pass it to this certain correctional officer. He'll pass it to me, and we'll give him, I don't know, $20,000.
But no. I came in with this one. I was like, no.
Yeah, how'd you? You haven't seen this before?
I've had. This I was always like that. Always looked like this. I guess if you have a lot of time and not much else to do, you can figure
out. You come
out
up with these things.
Ton of schemes, and some people are really good at it.
So, Melissa, you're the, out of the three of us, you're the big animal rights person. There's a new study. You're not going to be happy about this. New study. There's going to be a shortage of vets in the U.S.
Yeah.
Well, there's a shortage now.
There is a shortage now.
And it's going to get worse.
Yeah, that's not good.
Researchers at Mars Veterinary Health have found 47 states are currently facing some sort of veterinarian shortage. One factor may be the high cost of veterinarian school. I don't know what the cost is, but it's got
to
be up there.
Well, it doesn't matter. You've got to go for 6 years longer than you do to be a surgeon at Mass General.
You do?
Yeah.
I never looked into this.
Yeah.
More schooling to be a vet?
Far more schooling to be a veterinarian. Because when you are a medical doctor for human beings, you learn one species system.
Human, yeah.
Right. When you are a veterinarian, you now must learn the systems, the biological and chemical systems of
multiple species.
Yeah. So there's far more knowledge for a veterinarian than for even a surgeon at Rhode Island Hospital. Seriously.
Now, the study says by the year 2030, which isn't too far off, there could be 15,000 fewer vets than needed in the U.S. for pet care.
And the major reason for that is that more and more people are taking their pets to veterinarians, who we never did unless the pet was terribly, terribly sick.
Yeah.
But now you've got pets coming up with peanut allergies. And pet health insurance. No, you were kidding, but
No, it was in the paper about the big thing about pet insurance.
Yeah. So now the available veterinarians are being called upon. And they are working so very, very hard. And I can't say that they're wrong, but they're working so very, very hard. And the unintended consequences of being sure that animals in shelters are not euthanized but becoming adopted means that there's going to be far more patients, and that these very caring individuals that care for these animals are now not only in their hearts, but society is expecting them to take them to the veterinarian prophylactically before they're even sick.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Right.
Yep. And there's also going to be a shortage of veterinary technicians as well.
Oh, I'm sure.
So there's, less help for vets. So my animals, if I want to get an appointment for them, I have to do it months in advance. And then even for an emergency, the emergency wait is 2 weeks out.
Wow.
And it's been that way for over a year.
Dogs hit by a car, 2 weeks.
You have to go to the walk-in ER, hospital, and it's, it's $500 walk in the door. So
I know, there's your vets that look after, your cats and your dogs and bunny rabbits and like that. But then there's, it's on
horses and large animals. And,
they're your farm specialists.
Yeah.
What is that? Dr. So-and-so Rocky Mountain Vet. He does cougars and those animals.
Wildlife.
It's like, wow. Oh, okay. So, shortage of vets is coming up. So,
shortage of vets, shortage of doctors, shortage of dentists, shortage of pediatricians.
I just remember in elementary school, there was at least five girls that always said, oh, I'm going to be a vet.
Yeah.
Because we just love animals.
Yeah.
Until that, you find out how much it costs same. To go to vet school.
No. Or you start working as a veterinary technician and you realize how tough it is
yeah.
and how terrible people are. And you think, well, only, you know, really people who